Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
Here was 1997, and Audrey and I, and we just had Douglas and Robin at the time, were headed to see family in the Seattle, Washington area. We were driving there. We got to about Radium, and I said to Audrey, something's happening with my eye. It seems like, and I put my hand in front of one and the other, and I said, it seems like my right eye, there's a sun, it looks like I'm looking through sunglasses. It had been a very busy season. There had been some things in our lives. My mom had passed away that year, a few months earlier. Church was busy. We came off a real busy season. We're headed just for a little bit of a break. I thought, I just need a good night's sleep. The next day, it seemed worse. By the time we got to the Seattle area, I was completely blind in my right eye. You know, every little hospital in every little place, we were in a place called Centralia, Washington, has an MRI machine. And they got me in the next day for an MRI. They were thinking I had MS. They were looking for plaques in my brain. The good news is they did find a brain, and it was really large. I've had a few MRIs since then, trying to figure out what happened. But completely blind, my right eye. Some sight has returned. And the docs didn't know what it was. The first they thought it was MS, then they thought it was a condition called optic neuritis. But because of how much sight came back, they didn't think it was that. Ultimately, they think it was a virus that attacked my optic nerve. And so I've lost color in my right eye. Now everybody's looking at my eye. Can you see anything different? You can't. And you know, it's amazing how God has created us. My other eye has just become so dominant that I don't really notice, and it doesn't affect me too much. But I don't like blind jokes because I never see them coming. One time. For those of you online, Pastor Kathleen said, don't encourage him. Even though apparently I'm awesome. One time I received tickets from our youth pastor's wife, Tracy, to the Stampeders game. She worked for CNIB, Canadian National Institute of the Blind. She worked for there, and they had free tickets to the game. So she gave them, I took my daughter, we went to the game. I just really didn't recognize where the seats were in the stadium. And I couldn't figure it out. You know where the seats were? When I say the end zone, I don't mean on the sides in the end zone. They were at the very end of the end zone. Do you know why? Because if you're blind, it doesn't matter where you sit. And I thought, okay. But there's so much about blindness that we don't consider. And the story that is going to unfold in front of us today is one of my very favorite stories in the Bible. It's found in Mark chapter 10. If you have your Bibles or your devices, you can turn there. We are going to have the scriptures up in a moment. If you have a Cornerstone app, you can follow along with the sermon notes that bio does every week for me. But Jesus healed the blind. We look through the gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. We see Jesus healing the blind. He healed those who were physically blind, and he healed those who were spiritually blind. And we often will sing the song, Amazing Grace. I once was blind, but now I see. And I've told this story probably for 40 years. I remember it was my very first sermon in Bible school that I shared. And I remember even 40 years ago thinking about this blind beggar, Bartimaeus, that we're going to look at his story. Just a few verses in the book of Mark. I remember thinking about how does How does it work for him to be begging? What are the things that would impact him as someone who is blind? He's got to get to the side of the road. How do you get people's attention? And I thought, you know, how does a blind person beg? You know how they beg? They beg with their ears. What I mean by that is they have to listen. They can't see, so they have to listen carefully who's walking by. Do you know often, and perhaps you've seen this, perhaps like me, on occasion you've done this, when you see someone begging, maybe it's at an intersection, maybe it's street corner, whatever, sometimes you'll see people go far away from them and do whatever they can to not make eye contact. Whatever you do, if they're coming down the road as you're sitting at the light, people just don't make eye contact. That doesn't work with a blind person, right? To get by. What works is be very quiet. Right? Because they're begging, they're listening what's going on. That's their sense. They can't see. So they're listening. I can't imagine it was a very nice life for Bartimaeus. Men quite often, and I think it's more than stereotypical, I think it's quite accurate, men quite often will identify who they are by what they do, by their job, by their employment. I am a, doesn't take very long at a men's night we get together. In fact, we're getting together in September on the 23rd, Wednesday night, as a guys' pizza night here at the church. And quite often when guys get together, hi, how are you, who are you, what do you do? How do you answer that for Bartimaeus? Well, I beg. What, is that full time? You know, like what do you say to this man? Some people would have compassion on him, but do you know people can be cruel? People can be mean and unkind, and rather than compassion. In fact, there is a verse in Leviticus, and it's absolutely crazy that it even has to be there. But listen to what Leviticus says. Leviticus 19:14 says this: "You shall not curse the deaf, and watch, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but shall fear your God. I am the Lord." God speaking. Don't put a stumbling block in front of the blind. Why does that have to be there? Because people, hey, this will be funny. Here we are. Bartimaeus not living his best life. Bartimaeus doesn't tell us a whole lot about him, but here we go, verse 46, Mark chapter 10. God, we pray you'd speak to us through your word. Now they came to Jericho. As he, Jesus, went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. He's going from Galilee. You go to Jericho, you hang a right, and you head up to Jerusalem. But on the outskirts of this city of Jericho sits Bartimaeus, blind Bartimaeus. Bar means the son of. So Simon Bar-Jonah is Simon, son of Jonah, son of John. Bartimaeus, he's just known as his dad's. From his dad. Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. That's all we have of him. And it says that he sat on, it doesn't say sat on the road, he sat by the road begging. How did he get there? Who helped him to get there to this side of the road? And it says that he's not standing, he's sitting. So he's stationed there for the long haul. Pretty wise to be there. Be on a busy traffic road, that's where you go. I remember years ago when we used to have Christian bookstores. I know there's Better Bibles and Books is on 32nd again. It was about there, I think Gospel Supplies was there, or Christian Publications, another place. I remember going to those bookstores, and quite often people would be right there asking for money, asking for food, strategically placed where Christians would be. The economy, so much of the economy then had to do with manual labor. And so he wouldn't be able to be involved in that. So he really was forced to beg. And here he is on this busy traffic road. A great multitude comes, verse 47. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Remember the scene. The crowd is there. The multitude is there. There's a blind man sitting on the road. He cannot see, but he can hear. Matthew's gospel will tell us that he's not the only beggar there. There's another man begging, another blind person. But Mark is just talking about Bartimaeus. There's a lot of people around. Perhaps there's important people around. People have been trying to get Jesus' attention. Earlier in this passage, we would see a rich young ruler. We would see people bringing their kids to Jesus, and the disciples saying, hold off, he's got important things to do. Jesus said, no, let the little children come to me. And part of this is because this interruption being so concerning, Scripture tells us that Jesus set his face towards Jerusalem. So the scene is this, as he's headed from Galilee to Jericho, he's headed up to Jerusalem, he's going to be crucified. This is the final week before Holy Week, before the triumphal entry. Right after Mark chapter 10, it's Mark chapter 11, and that's the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. We are on the precipice. We are on the verge of Jesus riding into Jerusalem, about being betrayed, the Passover meal, about the crucifixion. We're right on the edge of that. Jesus has set his face towards Jerusalem, and he knows what's going to happen, and he tells the disciples, I'm going to Jerusalem, I'm going to be betrayed, and I'm going to be killed, and then I will rise again. But these interruptions, you think Jesus had something on his mind? And yet, we watch what happens with Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus probably heard the commotion. See, it says there's a great multitude. There's 12 disciples going with Jesus. There's a great multitude. So I don't know how big the great multitude is, but there is a scene of people, and he hears, and somehow he hears Jesus. It's about Jesus. Bartimaeus had never seen Jesus perform a miracle. But it would appear that he has heard about him. And I just want to pause right here, because I wonder if that's you. I wonder if that's some of us who have never seen a miracle, or have never seen a miracle like we would like to see, but we've heard about them. And there can be a lesson here as we look what happens about this beggar who listens. And it's very interesting that Bartimaeus, do you remember what he says? Jesus, the son of Mary and Joseph. That's not what he says. He says, Jesus, the son of David, have mercy on me. Somehow this beggar who hears, this blind man who listens, has listened enough to know that Jesus is more than just the son of Mary. That Jesus, thou son of David, he's recognizing the Messiah, the lineage, Jesus, the King. And he cries out with that authority, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And he cried out, I think we'll see the volume, the wind that he puts in his pipes. We'll see the volume that happens. But I don't think he's crying out from his vocal cords. I think he's crying out from his heart. That's where it's coming from. Psalm 61 will say, hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. When my heart is overwhelmed. And here's Bartimaeus crying out. He's heard that Jesus, he doesn't know where Jesus is. He can't see. And so all he can do is cry out. And sometimes we get in that place. Jesus, I can't see you. Jesus, I can't see you. But all we can do is from our hearts cry out, Jesus, have mercy. Jesus, thou son of David. Jesus, I know who you are. Jesus, son of God. I'm crying out to you. I can't see you. But loved ones, when we can't see him, he can always see us. When we can't hear him, he can always hear us. He began to cry out. I don't think it's like the guy you know, if you've been to a sporting event and they've got the pizza they're going to give away or the Subway or whatever, and they're running through the crowds and the loudest person will get it. I know I've told you before, I've won that many times. But I don't think it was that crying out. I think it was crying out from his heart. Watch this, verse 48. Then many warned him to be quiet. Bartimaeus, it's embarrassing. Be quiet. But he cried out all the more, Son of David. There it is again. Son of David. Doesn't even say Jesus. Son of David. The lineage of Christ, the Messiah of the Christ. Have mercy on me. And they warned him to be quiet. This is inappropriate. In fact, it says that word warned him. It means they rebuked him. And it's the same word when Jesus addresses Peter and says, get thee behind me, Satan. They rebuked him. It wasn't just a warning, this is uncomfortable. They rebuked him. You are out of line. And this is the moment where Bartimaeus' faith is challenged. What are you going to do now? What are you going to do now when people tell you to settle down with your faith? What are you going to do now? Keep your faith to yourself. You're making a fool of yourself. Jesus is too busy for you. He's got more important things to do. Had they known the backstory, he's headed to Jerusalem to give his life. He doesn't have time for this. He doesn't have time for the kids. He doesn't have time for you, Bartimaeus. And Bartimaeus essentially says, I'll take that out under advisement, and cries out all the more. Verse 49, Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he's calling you. Jesus stood still, Jesus stopped. Jesus stood still when a man called out to him. There's a miracle in the Old Testament that blows our minds. It's a time recorded in the book of Joshua where it just simply says that Joshua commanded the sun to stand still, and it did for the rest of the day, and they're able to defeat the enemies. We would understand that the sun doesn't stand still, that the earth is spinning at the equator about 1,000 miles an hour, 1,600 kilometers an hour at the equator. As you go to the poles, it slows down, but spinning at 1,000 miles an hour. We also understand that the earth is actually revolving around the sun at about 67,000, just over 67,000 miles an hour, over 100,000 kilometers an hour. So for the sun to stay in its place, there's a whole lot of things that have to happen that we can't even begin to fathom how God did what he did. But I think that miracle of the sun standing still pales in light of the Son of God standing still. When a blind man calls him, says, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped for Bartimaeus. And Jesus will say these words, what do you want me to do for you? It's the exact same words that he says earlier in the passage to James and John, where he says to them, what do you want me to do for you? And they said, we want to be your number one and number two. We want to sit on thrones with you. But Jesus stopped, and he commanded that Bartimaeus be called. Bartimaeus called, and Bartimaeus called, and then Jesus called Bartimaeus. And I love that Jesus told the people to call him. He didn't call Bartimaeus, he said, he commanded him to be called. And he made the people who were in the way make way for Bartimaeus. The same ones who were saying, you're making a scene, settle down, rebuking him. They were the ones who had to say, rise. And they're still bossy. Rise, be of good cheer. They tell him about his attitude. Cheer. I don't think it was just an encouraging, be of good cheer. It was still bossy. Put on a happy face. Bartimaeus was calling Jesus, and now Jesus is calling Bartimaeus. Verse 50. Throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. That doesn't mean that somehow he took off his coat, took off his clothes. Not everyone was blind, so don't do that. What it most likely means is he had a garment in front of him. If he was kneeling down, seated, that he would have had his garment in front of him. Like a busker with an open guitar case. A beggar, he would have had a garment laid out that people could throw shekels in, people could throw resources in. And he takes that and he throws it away. Loved ones, that was his everything. That was a source of income. That was it. And he threw it away. Earlier in this chapter, we would have seen a rich young ruler come to Jesus and Jesus say, "Give it all away." And he couldn't because his possessions were very great. But Bartimaeus did. But loved one, your everything is your everything. Whether you have lots or little, if it's your everything, it's your everything. And Bartimaeus, throwing aside his garment, came to Jesus. How does a blind man come to Jesus? Probably with friends or with people who will help him. See, he still can't see. He's calling you to come to him. Marco, right? It's that, like, see the humanity of the story. He's still blind. He can hear the call, but he doesn't know how to respond. Verse 51, Jesus answered and said to him, "Here it is, what do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabboni." We find that in another place where Mary at the tomb will say, "Rabboni, teacher, that I might receive my sight." I love this, that I might receive my sight. Not that I might see. He recognizes that that there is a gift, that you, the giver of gifts, that you would give this to me, that I might receive my sight. Asking a gift from the one who can give it, faith. Verse 52. Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight. The number, and followed Jesus on the road. The number of times we see the immediacy of the miraculous in the book of Mark is astounding. And immediately, just look at the first few chapters. Immediately, immediately, immediately. We don't always see that, do we? But Mark showing this, unveiling for us. Immediately he received his sight. And then what do you call him? You can no longer call him blind Bartimaeus. Right, the artist formerly known as Bartimaeus. It's just, go your way. He called him to himself. He had mercy on him with no strings attached. It wasn't, okay, I'm going to heal you, but then you need to become a church member. I'm going to heal you, then you need to pray the prayer. I'm going to heal you, and then here are the requirements. Son of David, have mercy on me. Okay. Mercy was granted with no strings attached. It's what he did. And then he released him. Go your way. And he says these words, "Your faith has made you well." If we were just have a cursory look at this text, we'd see it was his hollering that made him well. It's that he made a scene that made him well. Loved ones, I have yet to discover that hollering at Jesus ends well. Hollering at him somehow brings the miraculous. It wasn't the hollering. Bartimaeus believed that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of David, and he cried out to him. And even the crowd tried to hush him up, and he didn't listen to the crowd. There are things that crowd in on our lives, say, "I don't trust Jesus. He's done that for others. He's not going to do that for you." Whatever tries to crowd in, he didn't listen to their warnings. I believe that was a testing of his faith this moment. I am going to continue to believe. All it did was spur him to cry out more, having no idea where Jesus was, but trusting that in crying out louder, Jesus could hear him. And Jesus said, "Your faith has made you well." Faith was the vehicle that took him to Jesus. And he says, "You're free to go your way." The amazing part is that Bartimaeus had been on the side of the road, and now Scripture says that he followed Jesus on the road. And sometimes people will just sit on the side of the road and spectate what's going on with Jesus, what's going on with other people following Jesus. That's not where we need to be, not just on the side of the road. We need to be on the road following Jesus. Whatever had caused him to just sit on the road, sit by the road, his blindness, it was removed and he was allowed to follow Jesus. And my hope would be anything that would cause us to just sit by would be removed, and that we could follow Jesus on the road. Loved ones, I'm going to close with this. Know that Jesus is calling you. He is calling all of us. Just like he called Bartimaeus, command him to come. That invitation is already there, that we're invited to come to Jesus. But when Jesus said, your faith has made you well, man, that can be one of the most painful scriptures. That can be one of the most hurtful scriptures to people. Your faith has made you well. Because sometimes people will assume that the opposite is true. Therefore, you are not well because you don't have enough faith. Jesus never said that. Jesus never said that. You aren't healed because you don't have enough faith. That doesn't sound like Jesus, that your healing's up to you. That sounds very accusatory, condemning, and laden with blame and guilt. Where do you think that originates from? But what is it about Bartimaeus and his story where Jesus said, your faith has made you well? Because Jesus didn't say that just once. He said that three times. Three different instances. Jesus says it to a few people. He says it here. Bartimaeus cried out, refused to be silenced. Notice me. Notice me. The other place that it happens is actually someone who doesn't want to be noticed. It's a woman with an issue of blood who shouldn't be in the crowd and presses in and presses through and touches the hem of his garment. Jesus immediately feels power go out from him, and she starts to sneak away. And he says, hold on. Somebody touched me. And they say, what do you mean somebody touched you? Everybody's touching you. You're being thronged by this crowd. He said, no, I felt power go out from me. And it says, when she realized that she was caught, comes to Jesus. And he says this, daughter, which is really painful for Jairus, who's standing there taking Jesus to his daughter who's dying. Jesus is being, he's got to get there right away. His daughter is dying. In fact, in some accounts, it will say that his daughter died, and they said, don't bother the teacher anymore. He says to this woman, who is an interruption, Jesus is on his way to a dying girl's bedside. And this woman interrupts, and Jesus again stops. Says, hold on. And he says these words, daughter, your faith has made you well. Another time that Jesus said it, 10 lepers crying out to Jesus to have mercy on them for their healing. Jesus, with but a word, heals them. Says, go show yourself to the priest. They go, and one stops. Says, I got to say thank you. Nine of them continue to go. This one stops, turns around, comes back, finds Jesus, and worships. And the word in the New Testament, worship, is he laid down before him. He didn't sing a psalm. He worshiped, he bowed before him and thanked him. And Jesus said, your faith, now this time he says, has made you whole. It's a different word. It doesn't mean cured, it means saved. Sozo. It has to do with whole, complete wholeness. Not just you've been cured of an illness, it made you whole. And it's those three times in Scripture. And Bartimaeus is one of them. This woman who pressed in the crowd is the other. The other time is with the one previous leper who came to Jesus. And somehow I think that James explains it to us very well, that faith without works is dead. and it was their faith that caused them to act. It wasn't the faith in and of itself. Bartimaeus had faith before Jesus showed up on the scene. He believed. And so did this woman. Believed Jesus, the healer. They had faith, but they put action to their faith that did what? That brought them to Jesus. Your faith has made you well. Why? Because you had faith? No, it's because what happened? Faith caused you to act. Faith caused you to press through the crowd to get to Jesus. Faith caused you to cry out louder than you've ever cried out before to get you to Jesus. Faith turned you around from where you were headed with the crowd, turned you around and brought you to Jesus. Your faith has brought you to Jesus. And that's the only thing I know is where the answer is. We've got to get to Jesus, because he's the one who heals. He's the one who saves. He's the one who brings transformation. He is able to heal and to save. And maybe like Bartimaeus, maybe you haven't seen or you can't remember the last time you saw a miracle. Bartimaeus hadn't seen any, but he heard and he believed. Will you hear today through the gospel that Jesus is our healer? Jesus is our Savior. And would you with me believe? And we just need to come to him.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.